Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes with me, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Our Father, we know that all wisdom originates with thee. Thou art beautiful in every regard. All the thoughts of God are wondrous. And God is right altogether. He is true. He is honest. He is righteous. He is just. Never, ever has God ever in any way made an error or fallen short of perfection. He cannot fall short of perfection, but is perfect in every way. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, by thy grace, all here who are saved, by thy grace, lead us to understand more and more our privilege and our responsibility. Now, Lord, bless us in this time of worship and study of the Word. May every principle considered reflect well on thee and cause us to praise thee all the more. Amen. We find ourselves closing out on chapter 15 of the book of Romans. And we discovered last week principles for how to know what is the will of God by studying the life of Paul. Paul knew what the will of God was for him. He was to go to the Gentiles. He was to go to a country, to a people that had not been preached to before. And we saw he understood much of the specific will of God for his life. And so I brought up the question, what about you and me? Can we know the will of God? We answered we can know it certainly generally. We know it is the will of God that we live holy lives, that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we pray without ceasing, and many other general truths. We can carry out the will of God in that way, and that's sufficient. But the question, I think, is more than that. Can I know what God would have me to do? We do have texts such as Ephesians 2:10, which we quote here, which says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And then we go on to Ephesians 4:1, and that tells us that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. And so there are specific callings. And we could spend some time and look at a number of texts to help clarify how to know what God would have you or me to do. We went to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We find ourselves back there today. We're going to start with a little summary of what we looked at last time and then go on. We did look at this text a little over 8 years ago, so some of you, this will be review, and I hope it's helpful to review. It's been helpful for me to review it. And for many of you here, this might be your first time through this text. It starts with sort of a mystery, a riddle. What does this mean? Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And we said if one were in Egypt, you might recognize that saying. It's used there. It's a colloquialism. Here's the idea. The Nile River floods its banks every year. When the banks are flooded, water table's high, there were those who would float on a boat and cast their seed out into the water. Then when the waters of the Nile would recede sometime later, you would find that that grain, not wasted by being thrown into the water, actually sunk down into the rich, fertile soil, which is now exposed and is bringing forth what will eventually be a great harvest. And so that saying, cast thy bread, which means the seed, upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, has a number of urgings in it. One is to be generous. Cast. What do you have in your hand? Cast it, cast it, cast it. And we'll look at that in a little more detail in a minute. Be generous. Secondly, do what you are called to do, even though it might look ridiculous. That's part of the point here. The idea of this really sounds like an odd practice to throw grain out into water. Some might say, what a waste. But we noted that it is not that unusual for us to do things which to the untrained eye look like ridiculous things to do, absurd and wasteful, while in the long run you find there was a productivity in it. Now I gave an example, not very good, just what I came up with. Last time I mentioned the guy who sliced stalks off of a banana and put them in an automobile transmission, and it seemed to fix the transmission for a brief time. Now I've had a little more time to meditate on this idea, maybe you have too, and come up with better ideas than that. Well, there are a number of them just in the scriptures. How about this? God says, I want you to march around the city silently. It's all you do the first day. Second day, I want you to march around the city again. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, march around it seven times and then shout and blow some horns. Well, that's a peculiar military tactic. Well, there are many illustrations of that sort of seemingly ludicrous, a little bit embarrassing, maybe even a little humiliating guidance, but God says to do it, an obedient soul does it. There's Naaman, who has leprosy, the Syrian, he's not even a Jew, but he's told, you want to be healed of your leprosy? Dip yourself a certain number of times in the muddy Jordan River. Moses is told, pick up a serpent by a tail. There are people who are told, roll away a stone from a grave where there's a person inside the body, been there for 3 days. Abraham is told, thrust your knife into your only son, called of God to be the heir of all your calling. Or I think there towards the end of Christ's life, there was a woman who anointed the feet of Jesus. It's an anointing that's normally done, not just the feet, but the whole body, after a person dies. He's still alive. And this is very precious ointment. They say worth a year's wages. Today's vernacular, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000. She put the whole ointment on the feet of Christ before he dies. What was the universal response of all the disciples? What a waste. Jesus said, not a waste. What she did, going to be sounded around the world for the rest of the time as an act of faith and of love. And so there certainly is precedent in the scripture where you and I are told to do something and we should do it because God said to do it, even though we have no idea how the machinations go together so this works and what the end product might be. And that is the assignment here. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. The saying is, be generous in good works, even when there is no rational explanation of how good effects could result. We looked at key words. The first was cast. Cast means to fling away from your possession, to fling away from self into the providence of God. Cast. There are a lot of castings that occurred in the scriptures. Aaron cast Moses' rod before Pharaoh. Moses cast a tree into bitter waters. Elisha cast salt into bad water, meal into a pot, stick into the Jordan River. A corpse was cast into Elisha's grave. Disciples cast nets into fishless waters. There are many times God says cast. And we noted that the things that were cast were all common things. It wasn't cast your jewels. It wasn't cast the most valuable thing you have in your home, although that might be covered as well. The things that were cast that are recorded in the scripture were common. Rod, tree, salt, meal, stick, nets. Yet, the results were extraordinary. The dead came alive. The bitter became sweet. The barren became fruitful. The lost became found. The poison became nourishing. And nothing became a multitude. So, possessions flung from the control of man into the control of God bring glorious results above what we could have asked or even thought. Cast. Next words, cast thy bread. Thy, whatever a person has, a possession. Moses was asked, he says, I'm going to go before Pharaoh. I'm going to say I'm representing God here. And why should he believe me? And God says, Moses, what is in thy hand? I think he would say something similarly to you and to me. What's in your hand? In the hand of the widow of Zarephath, the handful of meal and a little oil. There was a lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Again, what did the disciples say? But what is that? What are they? Somebody had a donkey. Somebody had a grave tomb in which nobody had been laid. The point is, what is in your hand? Cast it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Cast thy bread upon the waters. We spent some time noting that the word waters in the scriptures often represent the multitudes. Look in the book of Revelations and you see the waters, the troubled waters, the sea of humanity. And that's what they represent here. The waters. It's a picture of the multitude. And the point was, many waters. You're never going to run out of needs. Don't say, well, I got no people. I have nobody to cast my bread upon. Cast it upon the waters. We'll never run out of people in need. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it. Well, you might say, lost that, wasted. But no, the waters recede. And look, there is that grain which we thought was just cast away to be lost. It's sunk into the soil. It's rising up to a crop. There is the hope of productivity when you do what God says to do. Not all is lost. We reminded ourselves, what's the whole book of Ecclesiastes about? It's about living a futile life, an empty, wasted life. And of course, that would be our dread. That's the common fear of humanity, that my life is meaningless, pointless, unproductive. Nothing's changed because I've been here on the planet. And that's how Ecclesiastes begins. All vanity and striving after wind. All is a waste. This waste, that, everything's a waste. But now you get this answer to it in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. No, no, you can have a fruitful life. There is a way to be productive. There is a way to do a work for God. And it comes with a matter of obedience to what he says to cast. Cast on the waters. You'll find it. You'll find it when? When will I find it? I got to find it now. You'll find it after many days. It may not be immediate. It may seem to be unproductive at the moment. It may be this hour. It may be next week. It may be next generation. It may be next century. That's not up for us to know or to decide. God says, cast, leave the timing up to me. It's a little bit like what Jesus said to Peter. Peter said, what about John? What's his life going to be like? Jesus says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In sum, do good to others with whatever you have. Do good even to them on whom your generosity seems thrown away. And trust in a supernatural God to do what he will, how he will, when he will. Proverbs 22:9 does say, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. We've got an illustration, and we looked at the life of Job. Job wasn't always a hero. Job grew into being a righteous man. And we looked at the text where he described, since a young man, growing up, he had a way of dealing with life, and it developed into the point where God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job is a person. There's a widow. There's an orphan. They're a sick. They're poverty stricken. So I didn't turn from my youth up, he said, I gave myself to meeting the needs at hand. God led me from that to this, to that, to this, to that, to this. He didn't have as his goal having a 30-some, 40-some chapter book written about his interactions with God and the lessons learned to be a blessing to humanity for the rest of time. He just cast his bread. You and I are told to cast our bread. Are you looking for the will of God? Are you looking for a plan? What might be in your hand? Money? Food? Ability to cook? Ability to clean? Ability to sew? Paint? Mechanical aptitude? Car? Housing? Ability to attend? Time? Experience? Do you have an ear? Do you have eyes? Do you have hands? Do you have feet? Cast them. Cast them from you. Cast them into the providence of God. You shall find them in due time. I remind you, we ended last time with that quotation from John Wesley, who said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can. Let's move on to verse 2. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The theme of this verse is abundance. Abundance. See, seven in the Bible is the number of completion. It might even represent 7 days a week. Then eight would be something above completion. Maybe something above 7 days a week. Ever heard 8 days a week? That's the idea here. Give 110%. In other words, God says, put your shoulder into this. I'm talking about, I'm not something rhetorical here. Do this, do this, do this with a madness, with a wildness, with an extreme abundant generosity. Give, 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 and then give. Seven, no, eight. I mean, look at what God gives us. I mean, here's the point. This is all connected to who God is. Our assignment is to do that which reflects what is true about God. Gives glory to Him. Look at what God gives us. Holy Spirit. Grace. Wisdom. Repentance, that's a gift from God. There's a gift of faith, a gift of righteousness, a gift of strength. He gives you a new heart. He gives peace, rest, glory, eternal life, physical life, sanity, food, clothing, rain, sunshine, fruitful seasons. In fact, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18, please. God is calling for an abundant generosity here. And I'd like us to look at an illustration of a lost opportunity to give abundantly. Luke 18, 22. Jesus is talking to the man we call the rich young ruler, righteous person. Desirous to have the kingdom of God, is desirous to live eternally in heaven. Jesus says to him, you just lack one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Cast what you have. Cast it. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. All this furniture I've gathered over the years, these paintings, that jewelry, this property, this stock portfolio, all that labor, all this stature, all this comfort, all this, to throw it all away? He had an opportunity, but he went away sorrowful. Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, very sorrowful, and he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man cast away to enter into the kingdom of God." Yeah, that's hard. And it's so contrary to Christ. And this is the whole point. Whatever you have, whatever I have, we are to represent who Christ is. Christ, on the other hand, compared to the rich young ruler, said in John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Moses said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Ecclesiastes, that's the second half of the verse. "Give a portion to seven and also to eight." That means 110%. Give 8 days a week. "For you don't know when your gig is up. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." We might have electromagnetic pulse strike America tomorrow. Jesus might return tonight. You might die of a heart attack or car accident. You don't know what you have left. Would you now give yourself to what is the will of God? Not postpone. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away." Now we know that verse, James 4:14. In that chapter, James goes on to say, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin." So what things can be accomplished by implementing this simple plan? Whatever is in thy hand, do it. One first thing to be accomplished, I think, is character development. You want to be somebody for God? Start with being obedient. Self-control is immediate obedience to the initial promptings of God. Obedience will be developed if we cast. It's hard to cast some stuff. I said to my wife, I look in our garage, we're just not going to stay. And we moved from a big house to a small house. Now we have this leftover stuff. Well, we should sell it. It takes time to sell it. And I agree, we want to be good stewards. But there's a point, I'm just wondering, and she was so receptive to this, maybe we should give it. Maybe the Lord has restrained some stuff to sell so we can give it. We should ask the question. Character development, obedience, leading to selflessness, leading to alertness. You know, some people don't even notice there's anything to be given to. They don't notice the unmowed grass. They don't notice the person who clearly is sorrowful in their disposition. Or they don't notice this, or don't notice that, just walk by. And so doing Ecclesiastes 11:1 can lead to obedience, selflessness, alertness, creativity, generosity, industry. This is no place for a sloth. And of course, faith and patience. A lot of good things can develop by answering a simple call. What's in your hand, cast it. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Okay, we're listing benefits from implementing this plan. The first one I said was character development. A second one is concrete action. Don't know what to do, so I don't do anything. Well, here's an assignment that's very concrete, very simple. Do something seven and also eight. Maybe it's prayers. I purpose to give seven prayers and also eight for that poor person in this dilemma. For this church, for this country, for this situation, for these eight people, seven and also eight prayers. Maybe you should bless seven and also eight neighbors. Maybe write seven and also correspondences. Maybe undertake seven and also eight odious deeds. Some people don't like to shovel the manure, change the diaper. Some people don't like to wash the dishes. or do other sort of odious deeds, polish somebody else's shoes. Could be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Concrete action. 7 and also 8 witnesses. I'm going to witness to at least 7, 8 different parties this week. 7 and also 8 possession giveaways. 7 and also 8 mission donations. 7 and also 8 giving other people's desires preference over my own. Well, the list is endless. Benefits that can be accomplished by implementing this plan. Character development, concrete action. 3, clarified purpose. The purpose of all this is not so you and I have a happy life. Now we know what we're supposed to be doing. The purpose is to present who Jesus Christ is to the world. And he went about doing good. Follow him for a day. Blessing here, blessing there, blessing here. Now granted, he had supernatural powers, you and I don't. We're not going to be probably bringing people back from death to life and some of these grow an arm, put on an ear. But he went about doing good left and right as the opportunities came to him on his path. He was out there with the people. And there are ways that we can do that too. Clarified purpose, presenting Christ to the world. 4, another benefit, conquering the flesh. How do I conquer the flesh which is conquering me? Find victory through implementation of grace by being a doer. As you're a doer, you're being transformed. Your thought patterns change. As there's no time to indulge the flesh, see if other things don't fade away when you give yourself to this program. Another benefit might be a career track. It's not inconceivable that God will lead us step by step as we are out doing. You know, I think I have a knack for this. I don't have a knack for that. You know, I'm seeing a need here coming clearer to me, and I feel the Lord giving me desires in my heart. As I'm out a-doing 7, 8, this and that and these things, I'm wondering if I'm not getting a sense of God's call, specific call for my life. Desires are clarified, skills are honed, needs are understood more intangibly. God directs as we move as he chooses to direct. Now, let's go on to verse 3. We'll probably stop there for today after we get through verse 3. It's going to take a little more time than just today, I think, to finish this text. You see what verse 1 is? That's the topic sentence. Cast thy bread upon the waters, multitudes, for thou shalt find it. This will have a purpose. There will be a comeback. There will be a result after many days. God's word does not return unto him void. It'll accomplish what he's purposed it for it to accomplish. Your labors will not come back void. And you don't pick and peck, well, this guy could pay me back, and this one is deserving. Give it to the waters. Give it to the unseemly and the ungrateful and the ones who will never do anything but give you grief. They're part of the waters. And that's part of the idea here. You don't know what God will do with whom and how. Now, what we have starting in verse 3 on through 6 are consoles. They are, each verse, an answer to the yeah buts of life. Yeah, but I worked hard. I'm not going to just throw this away. Or I'm too busy with this. Or I've got nothing. Or I'm not creative. Or I'm just a girl. Or I'm too young. Or I'm old. I'm in a wheelchair. One by one is anticipated the excuses that we come up with, and they're answered. Verse 3, we'll deal with that one today, just verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Let's go there to clouds. This statement, if clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. This counsel is an answer to the objection. Giving away what I have goes against my nature. It's not what I do. It's not the way I've been brought up. We gather all we can. What is that? We make all we can all we make. We're hoarders. We got stock rooms. We have garages. We have storage units. And it's just hard to give. It's not my nature. It goes against my nature. Well, let's talk about something natural is the answer. Let's talk about clouds. Here is a reliable lesson from nature. Like fire is a reliable lesson in James chapter 3, tongues like a fire. Like wind is a reliable answer, nature. John chapter 3, wind blows whithersoever it will. And so it is with the Spirit. Must be born again, Nicodemus. You find this all through the Scriptures. Fire, wind. Here it's clouds. Look at the clouds and learn from them. Consider the ant. Learn from the ant. Here it's clouds. The difference between clouds and man has a mind with which to distrust God and a will with which to resist God. Aren't you glad clouds don't? Imagine what a fix you and I would be in if clouds could distrust and resist and hoard their blessings. We would perish in drought. Yet we also know that it's not the clouds that send rain, but the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 45, right? The Lord sends the rain upon the just and upon the unjust. The clouds are just a conduit. So are you and I. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, be a cleansed vessel. Be purged as a vessel. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You and I are conduits through which the blessings of God can flow. Like clouds, so we. Clouds don't send rain. God sends rains through, via clouds. Clouds just don't have a mind or a will to resist it. So they do the will of God. Clouds. If clouds be full of rain. Do you notice that word, full? In other words, they're stocked with blessing. They're full of rain. You picture yourself as a cloud full, the abundance of what God has given you. Stocked with blessings. Generally, man's claim of emptiness, nothing to give, is nonsense. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. There's not a soul in here, but if you're a cleansed vessel unto the Master's use, such a blessing may flow through you as could not have been conceived. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Full of rain. Clouds are full of rain. And if they're full of rain, they keep it in. They hold it till they burst. No, they empty themselves. Duh. Clouds, full of rain, empty. You know what the first three verbs are in this text? Cast, give, empty. If you are full, and don't the Scriptures say, my cup runneth over. If you are full, then empty. Does not nature teach us this? If the clouds be full of rain, then they empty themselves upon the earth. That is, where the needs are. Not into outer space, but upon the earth. And that's broad. The Lord causes the rain to fall on the just and upon the unjust, no respecter of persons. And there is no permanent loss here, for clouds replenish. Give, the Bible says, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and overflowing shall men give unto your bosom. Can we turn with me, please, to Psalm 65? I'm sorry to say we'll have to end with that for today. There are four objections that I count in our text in Ecclesiastes 11. And we're just going to cover the first objection today, which is it just goes against my nature to give. I just can't release the grip. I'm not creative. I'm not observant. I'm not trusting God. I didn't know the scripture before. Whatever our yeah, but might be, the Lord says, look, clouds have rain, full of rain. They let it out. They give. I give through it. Learn from the clouds and enjoy being a giver. God is a giver. John is a giver. Jesus Christ is a giver. Be a giver and reflect what is true about our Lord. So we're at, finally, Psalm 65, starting with verse 9 to the end of that psalm. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. You see the domino effect of blessing? You give. God gives water. He gives rain. He visits the earth and blesses. This happens, and that happens, and this, then this, then this, then this. And all is joy. Who knows what will all follow if we but do this first thing? Even as is described here with the rain. Let's pray. We know, our Father, that the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We know, too, that there are cautions, that there are balancing truths, that we aren't all to impoverish ourselves once we leave the church building here in every regard, give everything away at once. There are balancing truths, there are cautions, but there is wisdom here, and we are told, do this. Do it seven, no, eight times. There is a charge here for us to heed. And we believe that as we do heed it, we can be led more and more clearly into what God would have us to do as a life. Man, woman, boy, girl, any phase, any set of talents. There, as long as we're on earth, there's a work to do. Help us to comprehend what it is and to do it joyfully. And may the Lord bless it. May it return after many days. May it not return unto thee void. We pray that goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. And if there are souls here not reconciled to God, that's the first step. You don't go out and start doing good works and the blessing of God be a conduit of God if you're yet an enemy of God. And we all are sinners by nature. There must first be getting things straight and right with God by faith in Christ first. This must occur. And so we pray if there are souls here that if they were to die today don't know if they'd go to heaven or hell or know they'd go to hell. Oh, that they would hear the word and receive the truth today that Christ died for your sin. Anybody here who is reconciled to God was reconciled the same way at the foot of the cross, humbly, in repentance, looking on the Lord Jesus Christ. God give grace if there is grace to be given for a soul here to be saved. And may we all diligently search these scriptures and learn how more effectively we can reflect what is true about Jesus Christ, who gave and gave and gave and still does. In Jesus' name, amen.